Üretim Bandı Tekniğin yeni bölümüne hoş geldiniz.
Selam Üretim Bandı dinleyicisi. Üretim Bandı aslında bir podcast'ten daha fazlası. Biz aktif bir topluluğuz. Ürün geliştirme ve şirket yönetimi ile alakalı konularda kendi aramızda konuştuğumuz ve yeni şeyler öğrendiğimiz aktif bir Slack platformumuz var. Katılmak istersen üretimbandı.com/slack linkine giderek topluluğumuza giriş yapabilir. Sadece topluluğa özel oluşturduğumuz içerik ve etkinliklerden faydalanabilirsin. Unutmadan, topluluk üyeleriyle paylaştığımız, 2 haftada bir yayınladığımız bültenimize de bekleriz. üretimbandı.com/bülten linkinden bültene kaydolabilirsin. Keyifli öğrenmeler.
Welcome, Peter.
Thank you. It's my pleasure being on the talk.
How are you?
I am good. How are you? How about yourself?
I'm also good, thank you. All right, welcome to Üretim Bandı podcast, actually Teknik podcast. It's my first English podcast. My guest is Peter from Shopify today, and we will talk about Peter's career and Shopify and maybe Ruby and other Ruby C parts. All right, Peter, can you give some information about you a little bit?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Peter. I'm a production engineer at Shopify. I'm also a Ruby core committer. At Shopify, I work a lot on Ruby itself. So I work specifically right now, I work on the garbage collector. I work on a project called variable width allocation, which is currently co-authored by myself, Aaron Patterson, and Matthew Valentinehouse. Matt and I gave a talk about our initial implementation of variable width allocation at Uruco. So if you want a little background on how variable width allocation works and what we're trying to do, be sure to check out that talk. Yeah, so that's a little bit about myself.
Yes, you are doing lots of things about Ruby and you are working a great company, which is Shopify. And I want to learn something about you a little bit. How did you start to work in Shopify? I see your blog post, you start to work Shopify as an engineer intern, and after that you promote to being a production engineer. What are you doing and how did you start your story in your Shopify?
Yeah, my story with Shopify starts actually quite a while ago. So it starts from when I was 15. That was the first time I've interviewed at Shopify. Back then, my high school computer science teacher told me that Shopify might hire interns. And she told me to just give it a shot, you know, like, what's the worst that can happen? So I just put together a resume, sent an application in, and I got an interview. I got an interview with a recruiter. I passed that. I got 3 technical interviews. But ultimately, I didn't get an offer at the end. But I learned a lot about how to do technical interviews, how to submit applications for jobs. But the recruiter at the end did tell me, gave me good feedback and told me to apply again next year. And like she told me all the ways that I can improve. And so I spent a year, I improved myself and then I applied again when I was 16. And then I passed all my interviews. And so in the summer of 2017, I became an intern for exactly 10 weeks. It was a very short internship. That was because it's between high school and university. So then I had a great summer at Shopify and I still remember to this day. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity that I got because I think I learned so much from that summer.
15 and 16, it should be crazy, huh? What? Yes, yeah, working in 16 as a software company, it should be hard for you, huh?
Yeah, it was an incredible opportunity. And like, at the time, I couldn't believe it. But, you know, they gave me that opportunity. And I really did learn so much from the people around me when I was working there.
Yeah, maybe. Did you have any plan to being a software developer or something when I was in 16 or 14?
Yeah, so I've always liked computers. And like when I was in high school, I knew that software was the thing that I wanted to do. So I really put in like a lot of time, like learning how to code, writing code, and sometimes my grades suffered in school because of this. So it's truly my passion. I really do enjoy software. I can't explain why, but I just do. It's just the way software works is just so fascinating to me.
Yeah, I see, because you are doing lots of things. Actually, you are working Shopify in a production, as in a production engineering, and you are working Sorbet, and we will talk about these things later. And you are a Ruby core committer, a young developer, and you are 21, am I right? Yeah, it's great, Peter. Anyway, how do you feel working in Shopify? Because it's very, as I thought before, is a very big company. And how do you feel as a young developer?
Yeah, so, you know, like, I think I've gotten, like, all throughout my journey up until now, I think I've really appreciated all the people around me, people in my team, my leads. They've all been very supportive. They've helped me in many, many ways, both professionally and personally. So like when I was interning, I learned so much from the people around me. Like, they're all very open to teaching me, who was very inexperienced back then, about things like Ruby, Rails, and all that stuff. Yeah, so I really appreciate like the friendliness and the support of everybody that I work with. So that's something I really appreciate, and that's still something I get every day, is, you know, like support from my coworkers and my lead about things, about like professional development and personal development. Yeah, and like I really like what I do, because I love working on open source. I think open source is like, it's something that I use all the time. It's something we all use all the time. And it's something that, you know, society is built upon open source software. And the fact that I get to work on open source software as my job, I think makes me it makes me feel good, because I feel like I'm having a big impact on the world.
Yes, you do. And being a production engineer, what does it mean, production engineer?
It's a fairly broad term. Production engineers here work on things like reliability, work on performance, work on resiliency. They work on infrastructure as a whole. So I guess a simple way to think about it is like front-end and back-end developers, their customers are Shopify's customers. Whereas for a production engineer, our customers are those developers. So we work on things that make other developers just work better. And so I work on the very foundations of that, which is Ruby itself. A lot of our back-end developers use on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, actually your daily job is improving Ruby performance on Shopify. Am I right?
Yeah, so the goal is that it improves performance for everyone, so not just Shopify. And being the largest Ruby code base, I think if we can improve performance for Shopify, I think we can improve performance for everyone using Ruby.
Everyone using Ruby. Maybe we can talk about how you met with Ruby. Why Ruby?
Yeah, so I originally learned Ruby for Shopify, but then I found out that I really like Ruby, and in particular Rails. I think Rails is such a great framework, and no, there's just no other framework like it. You know, like Java doesn't have one, Python doesn't have one, although it comes sort of close, but not quite. You know, nothing's like Rails, and I just really, really like Rails.
Maybe we can a little bit difference of the Rails and other frameworks. For my side, yeah, Rails is very powerful web framework. You can do anything with using a one framework doing on web. And other frameworks, you need to add other libraries or something. And what about you? About Rails, what do you think?
So one of the things I like about Rails is that it's very structured. So like it forces, like it's it forces upon you like a sort of convention that you have like an app directory, and under that you have like controllers, models, versus other frameworks are like you get your own choice. But I find that most of the times what happens is if for like a smaller app, maybe not like Shopify scale, but more like personal project kind of thing, I find that designing it yourself is much more messy than something that's, you know, a structure that's designed, that's well thought out and that you should follow. And so it's much easier to follow other people's code in a Rails app than any other frameworks.
I saw your blog, your experience, and you contributed Rails in 2019. And now, are you contributing?
Not actively. So that was because there was a feature that I wanted to implement that didn't exist in Rails, in active storage in particular. And, you know, I was like, yeah, I'll put in some time and actually implement that feature into Rails. Right now, I'm focusing my efforts on Ruby. And to be completely honest, I haven't been writing Rails much lately. So I haven't had the opportunity to write more things for Rails. But I totally would if I thought there was a feature that I needed that doesn't exist in Rails.
Yeah, I see. And how did you start being Ruby contributor?
Yeah, so I started last year, so it's slightly more than a year now. I started last May as an intern on this team. And it's a funny story because, so 2 years ago, summer 2019, I was also an intern on this team. And one of the things I said before I left to my lead was that I didn't feel challenged enough during my internship because I was working on Sorbet, but I didn't work on Sorbet itself. So I was working on things related to Sorbet, like Tapioca, what's now called Tapioca, an open source gem by Shopify for generating type files for Sorbet. But I didn't get to work on Sorbet itself, which was written in C++. And I felt that was, you know, a little bit of a regret that I didn't get to work on it. And I said I wanted, if I were to come back, I wanted a challenge. And last year, I came back, and indeed, my lead gave me a very big challenge. And that was actually exploring variable width allocation, which is what I'm working on right now. But that was at the very beginning. I was doing exploration work, and I was trying to learn how Ruby worked on the inside while I was doing that work. And it was very challenging, and I loved it. I loved it. It was so fun because it was an absolutely foreign thing to me. I didn't understand how it worked at all. And it was just so fun.
Yeah, I got it. Who was your lead in these times?
It was Ufuk.
Yeah. Okay, let's say to hi to Ufuk from here. And all right, you start to learning a lot of things about Ruby because of this reason. But being a contributor, core contributor actually in Ruby, is a little bit difference. How it starts, how you push your first commit to core Ruby?
My first commit was fixing a typo.
Really? What was that?
Yes. Yeah. There was just a very small typo I found in a test. And that was my very first contribution into Ruby.
But you see this typo and searching something on Ruby codebase. Am I right?
Yes. Because I made the exact same typo and I searched it and I found the result. And, you know, it was just pure luck. I found the typo and yeah, so I fixed it. I upstreamed it and somebody merged it for me. And that was my very first contribution into Ruby.
So how did you feel? Because your code merged to a big language code base, famous favorite language code base or all the world. How did you feel? Okay, maybe fixing a typo, maybe a small contribution, all right, but you did.
I just thought it was funny because I what I thought was like, from now on I can at every opportunity I can say my first contribution into Ruby was a typo, you know, like all these I was watching a talk the other day by Raphael Franca, and he was talking about about his first contribution into Rails. You know, he being one of the highest, if not the highest, contributor into Rails. And he said that his first contribution was a typo, was fixing a typo. And what went through my mind back then was, yeah, like, from now on, I can say my very first contribution into Ruby was fixing a typo. How easy is that? Just finding a typo and fixing it. It's not intimidating at all. Just, no, it's so easy.
Yeah. After that, what was the second and the third one?
Oh, I don't even remember anymore. But, you know, I upstreamed, like, I think I did a lot of, like, small changes, like, small refactors, a lot of which didn't get accepted because they were either, like, small refactors or, you know, they didn't really actually affect, like, it wasn't a bug in any way, so it was never merged. But, you know, some of which didn't get any feedback at all and is probably still open as a pull request right now. Yeah, so...
Yeah, because I see. Maybe my question was hard. Sorry, it's second or third one. I'm sorry. But I just worried about these things. You were doing something and you were searching something on Ruby code base and you were trying to understanding something on Ruby. And did you realize something working maybe better in Ruby and you create pull request and did something? So I just worried about on Shopify. What are you exactly doing on Shopify now?
I'm working on Ruby.
Just Ruby,
so
huh?
That's yeah, just really. Ruby, just Ruby. Well, yeah. So pretty much everything I do is open source. Like I don't think I've written anything Shopify specific in a very, very long time. So I just work on open source. That's my day-to-day job.
Ah, sorry. Yeah, it was great. All right, we talked Ruby a lot, I think. And have you used any other frameworks or programming languages before?
Yeah, so I started off with Java, actually. And I spent most of my high school actually learning Java. So when I was in high school, we actually had there was three of us, we had a small, like, I guess you call it like an after school club. That's just the three of us. We would meet on weekends and we would learn something together about programming. And so what we actually learned was Java. So we taught ourselves Java. We took the Oracle certification in Java together. So we studied together. We read chapters out of a book together. And so that was my very first language that I've really learned. So there was like, before that was like JavaScript, but that was like, it wasn't really like serious programming.
Yeah, I see. What do you think about the differences Java and Ruby? Because Ruby scripting language and there is no type in there, and Java a compiled language and static types. How you feel to change your language Java to Ruby?
Yeah, so I think learning Java first was good because it, like, there's a lot of like conventions in Java, and you know, like, you have to write your types nicely or else, you know, you have it makes your code really difficult to use. So you have to properly use like interfaces. You have to properly use inheritance. Whereas Ruby is much more loose. You can just do duck typing and, you know, you can just do whatever you want. And I think the structure in Java really, really like helped me learn better code conventions than if I started off in like Ruby. So it is quite a big change coming from like Java to Ruby. But I think starting off in Java was nice because, you know, it's always, if you start off with the more difficult thing and you move on to the easier thing, it's always easier than starting off with the easier thing and moving on to the difficult thing. So that's my take on Java versus Ruby.
Yeah, I'm agree with you. And what about the C? Have you used C?
Part, like, for work and stuff, no. And like before this, never, actually. I wrote a little bit of C when I was in university, but not that much, and nothing at the scale of like Ruby, like not even close to the size of Ruby. I've never worked on a code base this large in C before. Yeah, so that was a challenge. So that was actually another challenge for me last year when I started working on Ruby as an intern, was, you know, there was the code complexity of a project as large as Ruby. I've never I've also never worked on writing an interpreter before, so never worked on that kind of thing before, and I've never really worked with C before, so it was very, very challenging for me.
Yeah, I ask C exactly because you are writing a blog post series about Ruby C extensions, actually C extensions, and I think you are doing a great job because before the record, I told you I never read the C code on Ruby or C API, Ruby C API, and I met these things with your blog post. How did you start this? What was your thinking to write this blog post series?
Yeah, so last year, at the end of the year, I worked a little bit on Liquid C, which is, I don't know if you've heard of Liquid, it's a templating engine that we use at Shopify. It's open source. It's used by other frameworks like Jekyll, if you host, you know, like GitHub Pages or something. And so last year I worked a little bit on Liquid C for about a month and a half, maybe 2 months. I don't quite remember. But one of the things that I found was that the C API, the Ruby C API, has very little documentation. And so like I thought it wouldn't be too hard, but turns out it's actually pretty difficult to be writing a C extension because I ended up having to read a lot of Ruby's C source code to figure out how to actually do something as simple as, let's say, setting an instance variable or calling a method through the C API. And there was like very little documentation online. Most of the articles people write are about like how to set up your very first C extension, but then they don't go into more details about how to use like the more complex APIs, like calling methods, for example. And so that's my inspiration behind writing this series is, you know, I wanted to have like a from introduction to advanced topics about C extensions and how to write them. So hopefully my goal is at the end of the series, if you read the whole series, even if you have no C experience, you should be able to start writing C extensions yourself and, you know, being able to understand how to do most of the things that you would do in Ruby, like calling methods, setting instance variables, creating objects, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, yes. But the previous episode, we talked about writing technical blog posts in Turkish. And writing a technical blog post is hard, especially for developers, because our main job is developing something, not writing something. What is your motivation doing? Because you have a table of contents and you have lots of code examples and you are doing these things very, very regularly. So what is your motivation?
Like to writing blog posts in general?
Yeah, in general.
Or and writing the C extension?
Yeah, in general, and C extension, yes.
Yeah, so in general, so last year, my lead actually, my lead encouraged me last year to actually start writing blog posts about Ruby's garbage collector, because there's not much content online about how the garbage collector works internally inside Ruby. And, you know, I was, at the time, I wasn't too sure because I've never written blog posts before in my life. And, you know, in high school, when I was in English classes, my teacher always told me my essays were not good. Like my English was bad. My sentence structure wasn't coherent. You know, my grammar is bad. I'm bad at explaining things. My thought process is not clear. So, you know, I wasn't too sure. I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And I actually got very, very positive reception from the Ruby community, including Mats himself retweeted my blog post on Twitter. And, you know, that was a huge encouragement. Yeah. And so then I was like, maybe I can write blog posts. Maybe I should write the next one. And, you know, I wrote the next one and then I wrote another and another. And then I just, you know, every time I come upon something interesting that I think I could share with the world, you know, I write a blog post about it.
Yeah. And what are you planning? What are you planning about these Ruby C extensions? Okay, I guess you will write 12 blog posts, and after that, what are you planning?
I don't know yet. So I actually don't know. So right now, the C extension blog posts are my main focus. What my sort of plan is to like write the C extension blog post up until around the end of the year. So that's when I'm thinking about, you know, like finishing it off. That's my kind of goal right now. I don't know. So because I write blog posts about things that come up and I don't know what's going to come up. So if I find something interesting, I might write about it. But if I don't, I don't know.
All right. The last question about blog posts. As a production engineer and the Ruby core community, these blog posts can support your experience.
Yeah. Like, of course, like, yeah, that's one thing is actually, you know, like I can reach out to more people, you know, like coming onto this podcast right now, giving talks at different places like Iruka, RubyConf, and all those places. Like these are all opportunities, and writing blog posts is just yet another one. And I think writing blog posts also help myself, because when I'm writing the C extension blog post, I actually learn a lot of things by writing it, because there are certain things that I've actually not used before. And now I have to actually learn how to do so I can actually write the blog post about it. So it helps me and it helps everyone else. So I think it's a win-win kind of thing for everyone.
Yeah, great. Yeah, you're right. I read your blog post first. Actually, I saw in Ruby Weekly in Hello World about C extensions, and I talk with Fook. And yeah, do you know Peter? Yes, Peter is my team member. He told me, and we planned a little small talk in our meetup in Ruby Turkey. And thank you for that. And how was that? How did you feel being a talk in Turkish developers, in front of Turkish developers?
Yeah, it was my pleasure, and it was my very first talk that I've ever given. You know, I was a little nervous about that, but it was pre-recorded, so I don't know what wasn't as nervous as I could have been. I think it taught me a lot about like how to write scripts for talks, how to give talks. And turns out talks are different than blog posts, so it didn't end up being as nice as I wanted it to be. And I think I learned so much about giving talks from that, though. Yeah, so I think as a first shot, I think it was okay, but it wasn't as good as I wanted to be. But I learned so much from that. And if I give the same talk again, or any other talks, in fact, I think I would be able to do it better, make it easier to understand. And also one of the things about that talk was, I actually, like when I wrote the script, I thought it was very long. And I thought it was going to be too long, but it ended up being too short. It ended up, so my target was 30 minutes. And I looked at the script and I was like, this is going to be over 30 minutes. This is too long. And I did it. And it was under 20 minutes. So it was way too short. And that was something I learned as well, is pacing is pretty hard. And I speak faster than I think I speak.
Actually, speaking in a small meetup, the duration is not important. But being speaking in a conferences like RubyConf or RailsConf or something, duration is very important. And you learned a very big thing from this talk. But it was great. Maybe it was a pre-recording, although after the speaking, our communication and questions answer, you were good. And I can say that.
Thank you.
All right. Maybe we can talk a little bit about your Eurocode 2021 talk with Mative, with your coworker. How is that? It's called Optimizing Ruby Memory Layout. And I watch it, and I need watch twice or third times, because it was great. Yeah, and you did great job, because it was pre-recording, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So you are two people, and you communicating yourself, questioning, and doing how can I say it, the balance is it was great. So can you give information about this talk?
Yeah. So, you know, like this was my second talk I've ever given. But being able to work with somebody else on the talk was a very different experience, because it meant that things had to be more structured. So we had to actually have a plan about what kind of outline, what kind of things we're going to talk about, how we're going to split the work, and most importantly, how much time we allocate for each of us, and how we can make sure that each of our parts actually fit exactly within the time slots in the plan that we set for ourselves. So that was a very different experience trying to get it together. But I think the end result of the talk was that it was very high quality, and I think we did a very good job on that. At least I was very satisfied with the quality that came out of it. I think the community had a good response to it, but we were explaining a very experimental feature, and it's not something that's turned on, and it's not something people use right now. So it doesn't affect anyone right now. So there's only so much they can say about it, but I think we'll be able to get more feedback about this feature once we actually do more work on it and actually have it production ready.
Yeah, I see. All right, we talk lots of information about your career and your job, and I want to talk about a little bit your hobbies. What are you doing in your leisure time?
So in the winter, I go skiing because I'm based in Ottawa, Canada. So it's cold here for probably more than half the year. So in the winter, I enjoy doing things like skiing. In the summer, right now, it's pretty nice out, so sometimes go fishing. There's, a lot of things that Canada has is snow and wilderness. So we go out in rivers, lakes, and go fishing. So that's pretty fun. I also like learning new things. So right now I'm learning Japanese.
Really?
Yeah.
How is it going?
Basic, but I'm still learning. It's still very basic Japanese. Yeah. I also like traveling, but that's not very possible right now.
So, actually, we did 25 or 30 minutes, and I imagine that it should be 20 minutes, but it's going to be 40 minutes now. And the last question: you are young and you are a good developer, I guess, and you are a good open source contributor, and you are doing, you are contributing Ruby, and you are writing blog posts, and you're giving, speaking, other any conferences, and do you have any advice to actually young developers and other developers?
Yeah, so I think it's very important to try new things, try different things especially when you're young, but really you can do this at any age. And it's much easier when you're younger because you have less liabilities. You don't have you don't have a family you have to take care of. You don't have a mortgage you have to pay. And I think internships are a great way to try out different things, try out different companies, try out different roles, try completely different things, things that you've never done but are interested in. Even if it's scary, just try it. Maybe it's not as scary as you think it is. And really go out and seek opportunities. There's so much opportunities out there right now. If you're in high school, university, there's a lot of hackathons that you can attend. They're all, maybe they'll open up more after COVID, but pre-COVID, there were very good opportunities to meet people and meet companies that way. One of the things I think that was very important for me for my growth when I was in high school was actually having the club with my friends, with two other friends. We had our programming club that we had after school, and I think that was a great motivation to keep on learning programming, because you have a group of maybe you have one, two, three other people, and you can discuss every week, and it forces you to actually do the homework and not procrastinate, because you know you have a meeting you do every week or every 2 weeks. And I thought that was very good. We also had, so one of the parents also mentored us during the meetings. So there would be a parent there who knew programming, would like guide us, would look at like our code and give us feedback. Yeah, and so I think that's a very good thing to do. Yeah, if you're in high school or in university, yeah, pick up a book, set homework every week to read like a chapter or two chapters, and just meet every week, every 2 weeks, or just regularly. Yeah, I think those are some of the advice I can give to like younger developers or people who have children who want to actually try out a career in software development.
Yeah, thank you. You heard the suggestions from Peter. All right, Peter. Peter is over. Do you have any things to add?
No, thank you very much, Andrew. I had a very, very fun time today on the podcast. I think it was a lot of pleasure here on the podcast. It's very fun. Thank you.
All right, thank you. You are my first guest in English podcast. I'm so sorry for my bad English and my mistake. You and the other listeners. All right, it's over. See you the other episodes. Bye-bye.